Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich. Can mornings get any better?
Yeah. Could you please help me?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Patriots receivers now. Danny Amendola was really good. He's gone. And Brandon Cooks, he was their deep threat. Oh, he's gone. Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman off an ACL.
The Jaguars. Bill Belichick takes the hand of Doug Marone, who has led Jacksonville to its first 2-0 start since 2006.
Philip Dorsett, who was a bust at Indy. Chris Hogan had 34 whole catches last year. And Cordarrelle Patterson, who's a return guy more than a receiver. That's the weakest receiving core Tom Brady's ever had.
The Lions are riding high with a first win under head coach Matt Patricia, really dominating the Patriots in every phase this evening.
They lost running back Deion Lewis, left tackle Nate Solder, rebuilding their O-line, cornerback Malcolm Butler, but this is the weakest roster offensively. This is a bad receiving core.
Well, the Titans are having their way right now. They're celebrating, they're preening after every play, and they've earned the opportunity.
Busts, has-beens, don't knows, return guys, God, that's a mess.
Tannehill throws down the middle, caught by Stills, laterals back to Butler, flips it to Drake. He runs across the 40 of New England, angling inside to the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. He's going to win the full race to the end zone. The Dolphins are going to win it on the lateral. Once, then twice, and Drake takes it in, and the Patriots stand stunned in disbelief.
I can say this with full confidence. This is not a Super Bowl winning roster. It's just not. It is just not.
Brady with a give to Burkett, runs it left, turns upfield, falls his way to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Complete domination on one side of the football. Chargers have not shown up defensively.
Now they've got to travel to Kansas City to beat the Chiefs for the second time this year.
I tell you, that running back they got from Georgia in the draft, Sonny Michel, better be good.
They give to Michel, runs it left into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
That's the way you open up an AFC title game on the road.
Brady under center, a give to Burkett, runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
We're going back, baby, and there ain't nothing you can do about it! America's worst nightmare is back! We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years! Oh, my God!
Goff gives it to Anderson, hit in the backfield, and dropped by Danny Shelton. Goff is going to be hit, and down he goes! Kyle Van Noy throws to the end zone, wide open receiver Cooks, and the ball is knocked incomplete, thanks to a great and late recovery by McCourty.
I mean, who knows if Edelman can play anymore? He's off an ACL. He's an older receiver off an ACL.
Edelman's wide open, makes the catch at the 50. Edelman wide open at the 40. Turns to the 35, a stutter step to the 30. Edelman makes the catch on the run. Cuts it right. Tripped up. He stays on his feet. Angling to the 40. And he's hammered down from behind. Shotgun snap to Brady. Dropping back. Lobs a throw. For Gronkowski. Left side. Makes the catch. Over two defenders. Tumbling to the two. First and goal. Center gives to Michel, runs it left, a dive in the end zone, touchdown Patriots, Michel for six.
That's the offense I know, that's the offense we love, but it's fourth quarter and it's money time for the greatest guy to ever suit it up.
Now here. Goff with three to the left, takes the snap, Harmon on a blitz, Goff throws it to the right, Gilmore's there, intercepted at the four, Harmon forced the pick, and Gilmore comes up with it.
You knew the kid was going to crack and he did there, and what a play by Gilmore.
Swing of the right leg, kick driven to the upright, and the kick is good. Two possession game. Kick by Zierlein, sailing to the upright, and the kick is no good. No good with 5 seconds to go. Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title. Now they have won three of the last five. Yes, it's still a dynasty.
Two men who are the best at whatever has been done in the history of the NFL. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
The These guys worked so hard all year. They just competed every week.
Just so proud of our team. I mean, the support here tonight was like a home game. We could have been at Gillette Stadium. And I think we might have a parade on Tuesday or something like that. So
Gronkowski, I mentioned, had a couple of big catches in this game. Ended up being the Patriots' second-leading receiver. Will, do you think this is the last we see of Rob Gronkowski?
I'll tell you this. It was the most satisfying year I ever been a part of. You know, how we came together, the obstacles we had to overcome, you know, the grind from the beginning of training camp to now. It's just surreal. Just, you know, the obstacles, how we stuck together. You know, it was life. We went through life this year, and we stuck together, and that's what it's all about. We figured it out. We found our identity. Keep on grinding. It was just unbelievable. And now we're Super Bowl champs. We're world champions.
I can say this with full confidence. This is not a Super Bowl winning roster. It's just not. It is just not.
Yo soy fiesta.
So I call
him Mr. Lemonade.
That's right. They call Mr. Lemonade. He's supposed to call in. Edelman's on Good Morning America. I'm always amazed these guys can do television live in the morning.
Oh, they're running on adrenaline that is not going to come down until after the parade.
Yeah, but just you would think that you'd be completely wasted.
And he probably is.
Yeah, he's squinting at the camera. He's not fully
I think
there.
That's an affectation, though, at this point. It's like his Roadhouse stuff.
Oh, you mean where he's doing kind of like a Sam Elliott type of smolder? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that that's my guess.
Hey there. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, hey, I got it going.
Well, the UConn Cornelius beard has stuck around a lot longer than I thought it was going to. So he is looking quite scruffy this morning.
Well, once I saw Amendola in person, I realized why Edelman is doing this. Because he will never match the beauty of Amendola. Amendola is just a striking-looking man.
He is. He absolutely
Edelman
is.
Edelman is not. Yeah. And if you're going to do a buddy pitcher, you got to at least... I mean, when you're next to that Hulk...
Sure.
I mean, you got no chance.
Mm-hmm. So this is, once again, we're told that... This gentleman may be calling in this morning.
Does this ever get old? Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog sliced? You like it, right?
So hopefully he'll be calling in at some point. But I know that all day yesterday there was talk, and actually throughout this week. Do you have the clip in there by any chance ready to play? There's been a lot of discussion, and Boomer Esiason even mentioned it yesterday after the game, as to whether or not Julian Edelman now belongs in the conversation as to whether or not he should be in the Hall of Fame. And it's an interesting one because before yesterday's game, some people were saying, well, you know, if he won Super Bowl MVP, then possibly he might be able to make it in, or there used to be some sort of, it might boost his case. However, there is one thing kind of interesting. You know how many Pro Bowls Edelman has been in?
Zero. None.
Zero. He's never had a nod in the Pro Bowl.
No.
He's only had 2,000-yard seasons. He's been 10 years in the league, which is fairly interesting. For a guy who has been dominant with this team and obviously put up tons of numbers, and in the postseason has been ridiculous.
Yeah, he's
second
in
catches only to Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
And you look at the amount of rings and how effective he is, and that should count for something.
But he's only been a starter for half of those 10 years. That's the other part of it. I mean, if you take a look at it, you know, his first 4 years in the league, he started 13 games total.
Yeah.
I mean, He's nowhere close to the Hall of Fame.
I heard a lot of people comparing him to Eli Manning.
No, he's not.
What I mean as far as being someone who, when you first think about him, you're like, oh, yeah, and then you actually look at the numbers and you're like, maybe they shouldn't be in.
Okay.
It's one thing because everyone here has seen, you know, every game he's played. And so when you think about, when you see him play every game and then you see him, like last night, being really the guy, I mean, he was the one option that they had for a great deal of that game, then you think that. But no, I don't think there's any way he makes the Hall of Fame.
Well, one guy whose opinion I think you should consider is Jerry Rice, who is the greatest postseason receiver of all time. And we asked him on Friday whether he thinks that Edelman should deserve the nod. Your record versus Julian Edelman postseason.
Yeah.
Now listen, you're in first, he's in second, but you're in first by a mile.
Yeah, he cannot catch
you. No one will ever catch you.
Right.
Can a guy like Edelman, with the numbers that he has in the postseason, can he ever be in the Hall of Fame?
I really think you got to start looking at those slot receivers. You know,
is it unfair that they get
Wes Welker? Edelman is that go-to guy. You hear this thing all the time saying, like, with the Patriots, they don't have a go-to guy. This guy's nasty on the football field. He takes the hits. He jumps up. You know, he wants the ball. And I got, you know, I got a lot of appreciation for him.
Why do they get so disrespected, slot receivers?
I don't know, man. I don't even know with the committee of the Pro Football Hall of Fame how they decide who's going to go in. You got to start looking at those guys.
Yep. So, I mean, you got Jerry Rice's opinion. By the way, Schefter yesterday tweeted that he believes that Julian Edelman is playing himself into Canton, which is weird because, once again, he may have three titles. However, he's had just 2,000-yard regular seasons. He scored just 30 touchdowns his career before. Just 30 touchdowns his career, and has also played 16 games just twice.
Isn't the theory on slot receivers, at least at the beginning, if you had a guy in the slot, he was your third best guy?
Yeah.
Right? And now the offenses are much different. You got your best guy lining up in the slot, if only to get him away from the boundary guys who cover one side or another.
But again,
Wes Welker is miles better statistically than Julian Edelman. It's not close.
I will tell you this: is that
not in the postseason?
That no one cares about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That out of all the Hall of Fames, the Pro Football basketball is pretty weird too, because just you put high school coaches in. But the Pro Football Hall of Fame is a bit of a joke.
I cared last weekend.
Ty Law.
Ty Law is in, baby.
You sat there like an idiot asking everyone about Ty Law, and they looked like you had five heads.
And you know what? It doesn't matter, because Ty Law did get the nod. I'm very happy about that.
So now you can go about your life.
Yes, I can. It's one hurdle overcome now. It's one thing I don't have to focus on every year.
You're going to go to Canton?
I can probably not. No. As a matter of fact, I was in Cleveland for the baseball playoffs like 10 years ago, and I'm staying in a place called Independence, Ohio, which is about 40 miles north of Canton. And I still didn't go.
No. You don't drive the 40 miles to get to Canton.
No.
No, there's under no circumstances. All right. No, I've never been to Springfield. My wife has.
I've been to Springfield, sure. Basketball Hall of Fame. Took the kids there. They didn't give a damn.
Is it in a mall?
Yes, it is. Very built into a mall, yes.
Very similar to the NHL Hall of Fame.
Oh, is that right? I've never been to that one.
Oh, yeah, that is in a mall as well.
Is it really?
very unimpressive.
But at least the NHL, the Hockey Hall of Fame is in a major metropolis.
I accidentally stumbled into the Tennis Hall of Fame.
I've been there a million times.
Yeah. I've been there.
I didn't even realize it was where I was.
I've been to the tournament there.
I was walking past it.
Yeah.
Like, I went to the Newport
Rhode Island.
Like a music festival in Newport, and I was just trying to, like, kill time around town. I'm like, the Tennis Hall of Fame? The hell's that doing here?
Yeah.
And we just went in and killed like about 20 minutes.
No,
like,
usually you go by that before you take a ride at the satellites and go to the beach.
No, if it's raining and you've got to white knuckle it through the day before you can actually go to a bar. I've been in the Tennis Hall of Fame like five times. Right. Troy Brown's going to join us.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, a man who knows about winning Super Bowls with the New England Patriots, a man who was on the field last night. Troy Brown is kind enough to join us over here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Troy Brown, hello.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
We appreciate you getting up. Have you slept this evening?
Just a teeny tiny bit.
All right, were you at the...
But I told you I'd do it if I did it. So.
Listen, you're a man of honor. There's no question. Now, were you at the party last night?
Yes, I was at the party last night.
All right, who was there? Who was performing? What was going on?
We got a little bit of Snoop Dogg. We got a little Meek Mill. And I'm not sure who else performed after that.
Okay, it was one of those evenings. Now, was Robert Kraft on the stage with Meek Mill? Was he, because he's very close?
No, actually, he had a little private section, you know, at the back of the main, part of the conference room there. So, yeah, and he was just sitting back and watching from like a slightly elevated platform there. So, but yeah, but he was in the room for Meek Mill.
Yeah, what is it about Snoop Dogg that insists upon people having him at every sporting event party
everywhere? And
well, he just shows up. Yeah, he showed up after Super Bowl 36. He just showed up.
Yeah,
at the hotel. You know, he and Willie McGinnis went to high school together. So after Super Bowl 36, I mean, he was a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan too, but. You know, he knew Willie, so he came by the hotel, and nothing was even planned. I don't think anybody was even planned to perform that particular night. Snoop Dogg just got up there and did a whole set, you know, and pretty much had the place going crazy back in 2002. So, I mean, he was pretty cool about that kind of stuff, and, you know, at the drop of a dime, just did a show for the team.
I have a vision of everyone staying out literally all night. I mean, you said you slept a teeny tiny bit. Did you, when you left at like 3 or 4 in the morning, whenever you left, was the party still going or did it finally break up?
Man, I'm assuming it was still going because I think the past few years, I don't think it ended to maybe, I don't know, 5, 6 in the morning. So, yeah, let it just go. I mean, you lose track of time. You know, and it's just you may get there at midnight or 1 or whatever time it is, and then after that particular point, you know, I don't know. It's like going to the casino.
Right.
They close you in and pump oxygen in the room and serve you drinks.
Yeah, and you black out and everything else. All right, so yeah. Troy Brown, you were on the field after the game. Was it a sense of relief? Was it different than other experiences you've had after Super Bowls?
Yeah, you know what? It wasn't as different as it was back then. As far as you know, obviously, I mean, I wasn't a part of that team, but you know, he still felt a great relief, and it was great to see the organization and team win another Super Bowl, number 6, and. You know, and kind of win it in this fashion because it was more of a defensive struggle. You know, if you like high-scoring games, it wasn't the greatest game in the world to watch. But, you know, this was they won this game in a different fashion. So I think the guys, I think the team, and a lot of people I interviewed, you know, I think people just kind of like just not really shocked at the way they won the game. But I think maybe just maybe even happy they won the game the way that they did. It was a defensive win for them, and I know Tom Brady still had to conduct the game-winning drive, but that game was more won by the defense than anybody else because, I mean, it was a total shutdown of another high-powered offense. So, and that's one of the big things that most of the guys they kept talking about.
Do you think that's how the Patriots are going to have to win now, is that it's going to have to be based on defense because the offense isn't going to be as explosive?
No, because I think going forward, they're going to revamp the offense, you know, and add some pieces. And, you know, you're not going to see a team where they basically have, you know, one receiver that catches all the passes. I mean, yeah, other than that, you had Cordarrelle Patterson that caught a couple of slip screens. So that's going to be a situation and an issue that I think the team's going to address. You know, early I think in the off season. So, but that was on the burner even before this football game. But you know, I think that the way the stats ended up in this football game, not that it really, really, really mattered to them at that particular point. But I think going forward, they're going to address that issue early in the off season this season in 2019.
Troy, I might be oversimplifying this, but a lot of these same guys for the defense that were on the field last night were on the field and got run over by Philadelphia.
Yeah.
How do you rectify that? I mean, it doesn't make Matt Patricia look particularly good.
I mean, there's not a lot of different faces on that defense that, you know, participated in the Philadelphia Super Bowl 52. And you know, I know it's a different opponent or whatnot, but by the time the end of this season came around, you got to give Brian Flores, Bill Belichick, whoever responsible for that defense, you got to give them a lot of credit for getting that football team, and especially that defense, to getting them to play the way they wanted them to play, you know, and they had times in there where they couldn't stop the run, and they responded to whatever they were trying to get out of those guys, they hit the switch at the right time. And that was really, really, really late in December where I thought the defense really started to play just fantastic football and basically just shutting teams down and shutting them out. So we didn't know if it was for real, where they played against the Jets, just annihilating that team. But lo and behold, they got into the playoffs and they shut down the best offenses in the league. They shut down the Chargers. They shut down the Chiefs. Well, they didn't really shut them down in the first half, which is pretty hard to do with a team that has an offense that they have and the quarterback that they have. Basically, the league MVP and the offensive player of the year. You know, so they pretty much shut them down in the first half. And then another high-powered offense in the Rams. And that's how that football team won Super Bowl 53 by shutting out the best offenses that we saw in 2018.
All right, Troy Brown is brought to you by DN Van Lines. With moving your home or business, choose Felger's Mover at DN Van Lines, an approved mover for the Department of Defense and the top choice for Boston's pro athletes and celebrities, dnvanlines.com. Now, Troy, I don't know if you got to talk to him, but is your impression that this is it for Gronkowski?
You know, I think he was pretty much like he wasn't going to get into that right now. He wanted to go enjoy the win. But, you know, I saw him take he was having a pretty good game early on. I think he had like three catches early on in the game and then took that one wicked tackle where both of those guys went low on him, you know. And he got up pretty slow and was limped off the field. But he was able to finish the game and actually made some more important catches down the stretch. Obviously, the big one to get him down to the 2-yard line there and set him up for the go-ahead touchdown. But, yeah, you look at him and you watch him, you know, leave the field. And, you know, it's kind of hard for me to think that he would decide to come back, you know, if he had to make that decision last night or this morning, you know. But if he heals up and he starts to feel a little bit better, you know, maybe he gets the desire to come back and play. But, that's a question right now. I don't know. I don't really have the answer to it, but my guess would probably be that he may be at the hitting all week long. I mean, throwing some pretty strong suggestions out there about, you know, how he feels after games and everything else. And I guess it came out game one that he was suffering from an Achilles injury, you know, and I don't know what other injury you could have with Achilles, you know, other than a pretty bad sprain or strain, which there's a little bit of a tear in there or something. So, but, you know, I don't want to start any rumors about that. But, you know, but, yeah, I mean, just I would say that, you know, I don't know. I guess he would probably if he had to make the decision last night, then, yeah, he would probably walk away from this game a Super Bowl champion and left the field a winner in his very last game. And he played a very important role in that particular win. But I think he had, six catches, 87 yards or something, 94 yards.
Yeah.
So, and obviously put him in prime position to take the lead. So he'll be walking away from the game, having played a very important role in it. And like I said, collecting the Super Bowl ring on his way out the door to whatever else he wants to do with the rest of his life.
Not much as far as game strategy is concerned, because let's be honest, there wasn't a lot of scoring yesterday. But I'm curious to know what decision you would have made at the end of the game. Fourth and short, you're up by 7 points. You can either kick the field goal or try and, you know, run the ball into the line or get Brady on a quarterback sneak and you get the first down and the game is over. Belichick elected to kick it. Would you have done the same?
Yeah, I think it was the right play. There was a couple of things that was floating through my head in those situations, you know, with the clock being stopped anyway and them it being fourth down, that whatever they decided to do, that the clock was going to stop regardless if they didn't make it, the clock was going to stop if they ran the ball on fourth down. So I was thinking in my head, well, if they line up to go for it, they're either going to try to hard snap it, hard count it, and get them to jump off sides and pick up a cheap first down. Either they're going to go to a pretty heavy play action, you know, on fourth and inches to get the defense to come up a little bit and just dump it over the top to Gronk or somebody. And usually you see those kind of plays work in that situation. But, you know, and then because at that particular time, you know, Gostkowski had missed one, you know, that was just 3 or 4 yards longer. than that one that he kicked to basically put the game out of reach. So, but that just shows Bill had, he had confidence in his kicker, even though he missed one early in the game. And, you know, gave him an opportunity to go back out there and win it for him, you know. And, you know, that's why Bill's such a great head coach, because he, you know, usually makes the right decisions when it comes down to his team, you know, playing that well late in the football game. You got to give Koski a lot of credit for basically just sealing that game, you know, because I would have been a nervous wreck. I mean, you got to look at, you look at some of those field goals that went in on that game, you know, they didn't make it in by four.
Right.
You know, so they all was inside that left hash, the left upright, you know, and, but, you know, that's all you need to do is put it in between those two uprights, and you get 3 points for that.
And finally, before we let you go, Troy, you were in the building. Just how sexy was Maroon 5 when they were playing?
Oh, man, I think I went blind when he pulled his shirt off. So. Yeah.
All right, Troy. Thank you so much for this season. We appreciate everything. Thank you for getting up this morning.
Safe drive back, Troy.
Yeah. Oh, man, thank you.
Don't go today.
I'm not looking forward to it, but.
Yeah. Don't go today. All right, man. Thank you so much for everything.
All right. Thank you, man.
All right. Appreciate it. There you go. The Troy Brown, brought to you by DN Van Lines. When moving your home or business, choose Felger's Mover, DN Van Lines, an approved mover for the Department of Defense and the top choice for Boston's pro athletes and celebrities. That's dnvanlines.com.
Two quick things of news. The first one is we just received a call that, indeed, before the end of the show, we will be getting a call from one and only.
So I call him Mr. Lemon.
RKK.
Sweet.
It was actually Jonathan who called and said
nice.
He will be calling before the end of his show.
All right.
So there we go. We got a little RKK calling
in.
Oh,
baby.
And then on top of that, I think next we need to discuss what happened on Friday with what might be one of the most awkward interviews that we've ever had to deal
and
with.
And I don't know if I've ever been talked to the way that I was talked to after that interview.
And the fallout that happened afterwards was, like, we'll get into it. But if you missed our interview with Jim Gray, our ill-fated interview with Jim Gray, we'll play it in its entirety. It's not long.
No.
It's not long at all.
What's weird, it took Felger and Maz playing it. They did a good job, and Murray does a great Jim Gray. But I didn't even understand the levels of why he was being the way he is until they kind of explained it.
I did not hear the breakdown. I heard it was funny. I heard it was
funny,
really good.
But they're like,
well, then maybe you can explain it to me, because I was confused, angry.
I was confused, too.
Laughed about it.
Well, I've never been talked to. I can't recall a grown man talking to me like that. I mean, the balls on that guy to talk like that. I mean, he's a piece of crap. All right, here are the headlines.
You don't have to lift a finger to wake up to Toucher and Rich.
No way.
Just tell your smart speaker to play. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Are we going to be cliche ridden and mamby pamby bullshit, or are we going to light it up?
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. It's a special edition of Feed the Fan Fridays presented by Stop and Shop Official Supermarket of New England Patriots. Be listening this morning at 7:50 for your chance to score a $100 Stop and Shop gift card to feed their championship frenzy. That's stopandshop.com. That's Jim Gray, who does the interviews. All I'm aware that he does now is the weekly interview for Westwood One with Tom Brady.
He fills in. He just pops up. He does. I think he does the Larry Merchant role of the interviews in the ring after some fights.
All right. Suffice it to say, I don't see it.
Either way, he's a guy that every week he does an interview with Tom Brady, and he is popped up in like that Tom Brady Oprah thing. I mean, he obviously has a relationship with him.
Yeah, and so at the time I saw Jim Gray, we had very limited time because, A, I wanted to interview Jerry Rice, and B, I wanted to get out as soon as possible because we were going to meet Crash, and we only had a little bit of time before we were going to have to go to the airport. So I wanted to make sure we get out in time, and I don't want to get backlogged with guests. So I saw Jim Gray. I asked whoever to go see if we could get him.
I did.
So you got him.
Yep.
And all that I was aware of at the time, because I wasn't thinking of his career, all I wanted to know is about Brady.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's of course what you want to talk about.
Right.
I mean, he's there for the Super Bowl.
I wasn't thinking about all the garbage that he's done over the course of his career.
Right, right. And there's a lot now that I've been reminded of since it's done. Yeah. However, when I went over to him, I was like, hey, Jim Gray, we're with the Patriots flagship station. Would you want to come on with us? We'd like to talk to you about your relationship with Tom Brady. So I told him specifically we were going to ask about. And he's like, okay, sure, sounds good. And he walked over and we sat down. And I even was very nice to him before we went on the air. I was like, hey, you know, we're on Twitch. So, you know, don't, you know, try not to pick your ear or something like that because everyone will see it. And he like laughed and everything was cordial. All right, now we are going to play with you. It's not long. In its entirety, what happened on Friday around 8:50 with Jim Gray? Here it is.
The big Y world-class market guest chair is Jim Gray, someone we talk about once a week during the football season. He is exclusive.
Must be a slow moment.
No, it's great. Because there's so many things. All right, so first of all,
Jim Gray.
Yes. Jim Gray. Jim. Oh, I didn't mention his name. Jim Gray. He's very recognizable. I didn't think I had to explain it. All right, so Jim, we're fascinated with your relationship with Tom Brady. Okay, so you do the Westwood.
You have a lot of time on your hands.
What else do I have to do? What else? I do a 4-hour show.
Okay, all right,
so
I understand.
Okay, so you do the Westwood One interviews.
Yes, sir.
But then during the documentary that they did, what was it called?
Tom versus Time?
Tom versus Time. There was
No. It was the Oprah. So in the Oprah Winfrey special that he did, Super Soul Sunday, it was kind of funny because he's doing the interview and then very. Out of nowhere, it seemed kind of strange. Behind the camera, it was Giselle, one of the producers, and you were there for the taping of the Oprah interview. So what was the story with you being part of that Oprah thing?
I was invited to dinner by Oprah, so I came to dinner.
But that
you
was
know her like that?
Really?
Should that be surprising? That I'm sure you have friends. Yeah, I was invited to dinner, so
I'm not friends with Oprah.
But that was a
big deal.
But that wasn't dinner. That was a taping of a show. So,
well,
so
it happened right before dinner.
At Tom Brady's house?
No.
Was that filmed at Tom Brady's house?
No.
Where was it filmed?
Where Oprah films her stuff.
And that's
California,
where you guys...
I live in Los Angeles.
Okay, and that's where you guys were having dinner?
Well, right by there, yes.
You seem to be very secretive about this.
Well, why would my dinner plans be of any interest to anybody?
No.
I'm trying to answer the question. So I was invited Oprah to dinner, so I went to dinner.
But it was because you...
Because Oprah's famous, and Tom Brady was filming something, and you happened to be there. That doesn't...
Right.
They're two very famous people, and then there's Jim Gray.
Well, I know Tom.
Right.
Oprah knows Tom. Stedman knows Tom. Oprah knows my wife. We're all friends. So why not have a dinner? So that's what that was.
Okay, so you got there really early for dinner then.
Perhaps they ran late.
Well, it was the beginning of... it's very secretive.
No, I mean, I don't know what you're trying... Get to the end point. I mean,
all right,
don't worry about it. You don't want to be here.
All right.
We'll have to have...
Real quick. Are the questions when you...
That's what you wanted?
You just won't answer any questions. It's boring. I mean, you're being defensive and looking at me weird.
That's a stupid question.
But real quick.
Then I don't want to ask you...
Stupid question.
Okay, it's a stupid question.
What were you doing, having dinner with somebody?
No, we didn't know you were having dinner.
I just told you, and he didn't like the answer.
Oh, Jesus, Jim, just go. Do whatever you have to do. Bye. Here's the headlines.
Good luck to you.
Okay, and that was it. And then Fred took off his headphones, and we're back live. And then while that was going on and John was doing his headlines, it's pretty great because on Twitch, you can watch. Right then, Jim Gray stands up and starts pointing at Fred and starts yelling at him and saying, you came over here. You came to hijack me. You're trying to make me look bad. And I was like, dude, we're not trying to do anything like that. And he goes, you know, your show has a blank reputation, and I want to talk to your boss.
He's like, F you, and F this, and F that, and he's just talking to me. I go, go away. I will never talk again. It's fine. Just go away.
Was he saying go F yourself?
Yes.
So, yeah,
he was talking to me in a way that I have not been talked to as an adult.
Okay.
Like for that period of time, getting reamed out like that, that a-hole from that stupid interview... Talk to me in a way that I have not been talked to in my adult life.
So he goes, is this your boss right here?
I was so mad, I was shaking. And I had to close my eyes, fold my arms, and you can see pictures of it on the internet, and put my head back, serenity now, because I knew that I'm not going to win an argument because Jim Gray is going to go and flip out. I wanted to stand up and I wanted to just start screaming at him. But so I was just wanted it over with.
So he said, is this your boss? Or I said, well, that's our program director. And meanwhile, Jerry Rice is sitting down and Jerry Rice looks at us and goes, what the hell's up with this guy?
Yeah.
Jerry Rice saw all of this.
Like, Jerry Rice is like, what's this guy's problem? Because he saw everything go down, and he was like, man, that dude just flipped out for no reason whatsoever. So if you watch the Twitch feed, we had Jerry Rice there, because instantly right after that, and in the background, you see Jim Gray pointing at the chest of our program director, and I later on found out that Jim Gray was demanding that we make an apology to him.
Right.
Demanding that we apologize for him being a jackass.
And for ending an interview.
For ending an interview.
And instead of going, hey, you know how you take money to set up interviews with athletes where they tell you what to ask them and things of that nature, like the decision. I mean, it wasn't an ambush interview, even though it very well could have been, but I wasn't even thinking of that stuff at the time. But the man didn't, because, and then I figured out, because of what Felger and Maz said, that he's very sensitive, apparently, to his relationship with Tom Brady, because he wants to be, he's under the narcissistic interplanetary stupidness of thinking that his interviews are looked upon by anyone as being hard-hitting. He's under this delusion that his interviews with Tom Brady are supposed to be, like, you know, super no namby-pamby BS, like, that we're all so dumb that we don't know that they're handshake deals where he has nothing.
And just the ego on this guy, and apparently he didn't shut up about it. He was calling, like, people and saying,
oh, yeah, he was calling Westwood One and saying that how terrible we were. Yeah.
And demanding a public apology for that.
Yeah, he should apologize to me for the way he talked to me. I'll never apologize. Ever in my entire life, I won't apologize. The way that guy talked to me. In fact, I demand a public apology from him. I had dinner. Jim Gray, you're a piece of garbage. You're out with two of the most famous people on the planet. A very mercurial. First of all, no one sees Stedman unless he's doing some event where he's, you know, telling Tony Robbins and people. I mean, like, who knows Stedman? Second of all, Oprah is one of the five most famous people on the planet. And then Tom Brady, who no one knows anything about. Like, that, and you're so defensive about it, you can't see how that would be interesting to someone? You idiot. I mean, what a moron. I mean, just what a jackass. We had dinner plans. It could have been, well, I know Oprah. He could have said, I know Oprah from blah, 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 blah.
Or just, you know what? I was called over to do dinner. I happened to get there a little bit early, and I saw that they were filming this interview, so I thought I'd go over and watch a little bit of it. And I happen to know Tom because I interview him, so everything kind of worked out well, and it was a very interesting day, and then we ended up having dinner afterwards. I mean, how tough was that? Instead of, well, you never go to dinner with your friends? I have friends. We're like, all right, well, but it's Oprah. Like, how are you friends with Oprah? He's like, well, why are you surprised that I'd be friends with Oprah?
Because you're a nobody, and she's one of the most famous people on the planet. Like, if it was, you know, Tom Cruise, and he said, I'm friends with Oprah and Tom Brady, I'd say, okay, that makes sense. Like, Jim effing Gray? I mean, it was weird. Him and Giselle were the two other people they showed in that interview. Giselle, I know why she's there.
Right.
She's Tom Brady's wife. Jim Gray's just sitting there like a moron. And he was, so he's sitting there waiting for dinner and they pan over to him. He's just sitting there watching the interview where was Stedman? In anticipation for the dinner?
So he said, would Fred rather apologize to Jim Gray or go to a Grateful Dead show?
Apologize to Jim Gray. Jeff, go ahead.
I can't believe the Patriots win their sixth Super Bowl.
Oh, geez, Jeff. Shut your face. We've been talking about the Patriots all morning long.
Yeah, right. You're saying that they won the Super Bowl? No kidding. No kidding. They won the Super Bowl. Believe me. We'll hear plenty about it.
An hour and 40 minutes of talking Patriots nonstop.
We got Troy Brown on. We got Robert Kraft on later on. We've got all these people on.
I don't care what the guy says. But, yeah, that was Jim Gray. Just yelling and swearing at me and pointing at me and having the audacity to say that we should apologize to him for asking about dinner or for ending the interview. All I did was end the interview. I just said, fine. And he's giving me these creepy looks during this stupid thing.
Yeah, the video's great because he's standing up and just like pointing at you in the chest. And he's yeah, like, yelling like
very
at you.
Intimidating. Dude, 5'2", 80 years old and full of bones.
And meanwhile, Jerry Rice is like, oh, what's this guy's deal?
No, Jerry Rice thought he was a prick. And I don't even sure Jerry Rice knew who it was. My wife's friends with Stedman. Stedman's friends with my wife.
Did you see the video last night of Jim Gray walking onto the field trying to get an interview with
poetic
with Bill Belichick?
Perfect justice. Did you see this?
Belichick looks at him and just gives him the Heisman. And
it was in the middle of the scrum after the game. Belichick, surrounded by security, walks right up to Jim Gray. Jim Gray is standing right in front of him.
And he puts a microphone in Belichick's face and he just goes,
Belichick,
nope.
Goes left.
He keeps walking.
Oh, really?
Like avoiding a tackler in the middle of the field. Oh, nope, sorry.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. I wonder why he didn't bow to his feet, considering he's friends with Stedman. Yeah. I don't know what he did. I don't even know who he'd be interviewing Belichick for. I have no idea.
That's a good point. I don't know either.
I mean, is he the sideline reporter for the radio?
No, he didn't do sideline for Westwood One last night. Not a chance.
Maybe he was just doing it so he could collect it and send it to Stedman and Oprah, who he's friends with, and his wife's friends with.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.